نحمد ونستعين ونستغفر ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا ومن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فقال الله تعالى في القران المجيد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله ان الله خبير بما تعملون ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فانساهم انفسهم اولئك هم الفاسقون. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear, the last 10 days of Ramadan, and I think throughout the Ramadan you must have heard Maulana Patel Sahab and other people speaking to you about the Ramadan and the virtues of Ramadan. And this is the last 10 days in which Allah Ta'ala has promised protection from fire. But there is a subtle point if you think a little carefully, that as the hadith had mentioned, the 10 days of the Rahmah and 10 days of the Maghfirat and 10 days of the protection from fire. But if you think a little carefully, the last week contains both elements. It's not only the protection from fire, but both elements are interlinked. That is, you seek the Rahmah is coming. But in order to imbibe the Rahmah, you have to do something. The rain can fall, but if you expose yourself to the rain will fall upon you. So when you achieve the Rahmah, how do you achieve the Rahmah? Because the thing is this, in our everyday life, we commit lots of things, knowingly or unknowingly, for which you may make the istighfar. And therefore the next 10 days that you're making the istighfar and asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. So Allah Ta'ala shows His mercy and then He will forgive. And when He forgives, then you deserve protection from fire. So therefore the protection of fire does not stand alone. It has a link from the Rahmah and then the Istighfar and then the protection from fire. The other point is that Ramadan, alhamdulillah, has got such a naturally conducive environment that as soon as the Ramadan begins and the first part begins, all of us, everybody becomes prepared, and his whole element, mentally, physically, heart, become conducive to follow the spirit of Ramadan. And automatically it creates in you consciousness of Allah's presence all the time. And especially while we are fasting, if you think carefully, that we are fasting almost 24 hours, in the sense that is, start from the sahur. It's very hard to get up in the nowadays at 3 o'clock, but you do in order to obey the command which Allah Ta'ala has given. So you are already seeking Allah's pleasure. Then you do the sahur, then you make the fajr, then you start the fasting. Then things which are normally halal during the night become haram in the daytime. So you are already in that state of mind. And then you continue in that. Then you come to the iftar. Then again iftar, you are not breaking the fast 2 minutes early, because again thinking about the command of Allah, and you are, things are there, but you don't extend your hand until the time has come. Then you make your iftar. And you make shukr to Allah Ta'ala what Allah Ta'ala has provided you for that. And then after that you have got the Taraweeh. And then again the whole cycle begins. So if you think yourself carefully, you are in that environment almost 24 hours. Now that creates the spirit of presence of Allah in your mind. And this is what's called taqwa. Taqwa actually means, in the translation in English is not very good. Some say piety, some duty to Allah, or fear of Allah. Actually, it's not fear of Allah it's a wrong translation anyway, because the Quran has used both words. Khawf, Allah Ta'ala, khawf means fear. Taqwa means to avoid something. Quran mentioned that in many places. Allah Ta'ala mentioned. We read the dua, Rabbana atana fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. So qina does not mean khawf or fear. Qina means to protect, to avoid something. Avoid me, keep me away from the fire. Once Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was discussing what taqwa is. Don't you think that he did not know it? But he was asking, Sahaba was there. And then Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was sitting there, he was an Ansari, he was sitting there quiet. So Hazrat Umar asked him, "You haven't said anything. What does it mean?" Now Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu at that time was already a Khalifa, Amir al-Mumineen. Now Amir al-Mumineen is asking to define what taqwa is. Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'ab then mentioned, "Amir al-Mumineen, have you ever had a chance to go through a path where there may be lots of dirt or the bushy bush with thorns?" He said, "Yes." He said, "When you go there, then you fold your clothes in such a way that your clothes are not entangled with those bush or the thorns." This is what taqwa is. That is, we are living in this world full of sins, full of things which invites you think the wrong way. So in order to protect yourself and avoid those things and continue to the path, right path, which Allah Ta'ala has asked, this is called taqwa. And that you cannot get unless you have got the presence of Allah in your mind, inculcate in your mind the presence of Allah all the time. There is another hadith where Allah Ta'ala says, Rasulullah says, that when a mu'min commits adultery, he is not a mu'min. When a mu'min commits a theft, he is not a mu'min. What it means is, a person who has iman is not expected, cannot do that thing which he has done. And therefore, the verse which I have just recited, they linked up with the month of fasting, and that the spirit that Ramzan has created in us, the idea it should continue throughout the year. But what happens as soon as we see the month, the moon of Eid, because we think that jo gunah ki jo sawab hai aaj. Now then everything is alright now, alhamdulillah, everything over, and now we can do whatever we want to. That's not the idea. The idea is that this Ramadan gives a practice run. And the idea is that what we have achieved in this month of Ramadan should continue throughout the year. This is what the idea is. Unfortunately, we don't do that. But we should. And therefore Allah Ta'ala says here, "Or those who believe," because Allah Ta'ala demands from those who claim that we are a mu'min, we are Muslim. You expect things from your children, you don't expect things from somebody else. But somebody who accepts you, from whom you expect. And therefore I or we say that we are a mu'min, this means that Allah Ta'ala expects from you to accept His command. And therefore Allah Ta'ala says that, "Oh, those who believe," this is one of those verses where twice the word ittaqullah appears. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu ittaqullah wa tanzur nafsu ma qaddamat lighad wa ittaqullah. So twice in the same verse. The first ittaqullah, that is to protect yourself, to avoid yourself obeying the command of Allah, and that each soul must see to it that they must send something for tomorrow. That is the day of Qiyamah. Means a good deed. Then again Allah Ta'ala says, "Wattaqullah," again to avoid sin. "Wattaqullah." Why? "Inna Allah khabir bima ta'malun." Because Allah Ta'ala knows everything that goes on with you. So in other words, that you must avoid sin. This is what means taqwa really actually means. Now I don't know anyone if you have been there to Karachi, to the Khanqah or the Hakim Sahib. To go there is a couplet written there in the Khanqah. Says very simple. Says اہل دل کے دل سے نکلے آہ آہ بس اختر وہی ہے اصلی خانقاہ. مینس خانقاہ یو گو فار واٹ ٹو کیپ دا کمپنی دا گڈ پیپل. سو دا تھنگ وٹ حضرت از سیئنگ ان دی اوائڈنس آف سن the stroke that you get, the strike that you get to your heart, the repentance that you get out of this, and that creates nikti ah. Somebody who get hurt, what does he do? That's what he does. So the hurt that you get in the avoidance of sense in order to obey the command of Allah, so that hurt, that the sound that comes out of your heart because of that hurt that you got. So Hazrat says, this is where the real khanqa is. Real khanqa is in the heart. And that will come only out of the belief, absolute belief in the presence of Allah all the time. And how do we get it? Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِرُ مَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Because Allah Ta'ala knows everything that goes on, whatever you are doing. So what's the point? Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those who have forgotten Allah, as if Allah doesn't exist. And therefore they keep doing whatever the haram thing they can do. What Allah Ta'ala does? فَأَنسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala let them even forget themselves. They can do whatever they want to. So as a result, they're absolutely free. Freedom they get, they just run amok. So when that happens, then there is a negligence, then you don't think of Allah. Now, one is the belief, our five aqaid, tawheed, risalat, qiyamat, everything that there. Out of which, the sense of accountability to Allah for our deeds, private and public, this is what's going to happen in the qiyamat. So when the sense of accountability to Allah is dim, then you can do anything you want to. I give a small example, give you, like our the students who write the examination or in the factory people are working. When the invigilators are running up there, up and down, the students are very alert. They don't want to copy. They won't do anything because they see the man is watching. And therefore their sense of responsibility is very high at that time. But as soon as anyone realizes that so and so is watching, in which invigilator is busy with something and not looking at it, then immediately he can copy, he can do something. Why? Because at that time his vision of responsibility came low and realized that this is, we can do it, anything about it. Or in the factory, when you work in the factory, the supervisor is watching, everybody is working very efficiently with him working. But as soon as the supervisor is out of the way, then he relaxes. So the idea is, in order to inculcate in our mind the presence of Allah all the time. And which Allah Ta'ala says, in this world we are doing here, we are sending something for tomorrow. All of us work, business or profession, anything, we put aside some money somewhere. Why? You are pushing that money aside because a time will come that you will not be able to earn. And therefore that pension or whatever it is, at that time it will be of your use when you will not be able to work. Likewise, it is stupidity on our part that we don't do anything for tomorrow when the real time will come when our account will be open. What do we have in your account? Nothing. A poet says, very nicely he has put it, I'll translate it, Paas kuch bhi nahi, paas kuch bhi nahi, aur mulk-e-adam ka hai safar. Paas kuch bhi nahi, aur mulk-e-adam ka hai safar, hausle dekhiye in be-sar-e-samano ke. We haven't got anything to show. We are traveling so far, that is after death. He said, look at the audacity of these paupers who have nothing to show, and yet they won't go there. For our ordinary travel, what we don't do. So this is a travel, this is a life, we are traveling. We are born, then we are, the life is traveling. You never know when your life will be snapped. This is one of those things regarding there is no insurance, there is no surety, there is no certainty. But one certainty is there, that we are going to die, whether young or old. Whatever the reason, whatever the cause, whatever the excuse, but a person will die. If the person will die, what do we have to show? Nothing. So in order to show something, you have to do something. And therefore Allah Ta'ala says here, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. At one place Allah Ta'ala says that if you forget Rasulullah, فَنَسِيَ اللَّهُ نَسِيَهُمْ. If you forget Allah Ta'ala, Allah will forget you too. In fact, Allah Ta'ala will tell the kuffar in the day of Qiyamah, this is the day you were denying, this is the day you were forgotten, today Allah is going to forget you. And therefore, you know, before that happens, you will keep asking Allah Ta'ala, istighfar, tawbah, come back to Him again and again, because throughout our life, depends how many years a man lived, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, whatever the time left. So many things, so many slips, so many things happen, knowingly or unknowingly. The idea is keep coming back to Allah Ta'ala and ask Allah Ta'ala istighfar and tawbah. And that tawbah should be sincere, we will not do it again. Not only tawbah, 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 just this thing, just much. That's not the idea. The idea of tawbah is that you promise to Allah Ta'ala I will not do it again knowingly. You may do it again. There's a Persian poet says, if you break tawbah 100 times, you come back to Allah Ta'ala 100 times. Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. Allah Ta'ala like. Now you have the tawabin. Allah Ta'ala like the tawabin. Tawabin means that you humble yourself in Allah, to Allah Ta'ala for asking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. That's what it means. And if you don't do that, and you are arrogant, or you think that we have done very well, or you think whatever act we have done, that is more than enough. It's not enough. This is a deception. That's why Allah Ta'ala says about this world, Mata'ul Ghurur. This is a place of deception. In the hadith where Allah Ta'ala says, Hujabat al-Nar bi-Shahwat, Hujabat al-Jannah bil-Makare. That the path to the fire is very attractive, full of attractions, and therefore you automatically you want to run. The path to the Jannat has been put lots of obstacles there. See the obstacle race with the heaven. So the thing is this: there's a struggle. The struggle should be to avoid those things which Allah Ta'ala has asked you to abstain from. This is where the struggle is. Now that struggle will not come out of books. That struggle will not come just because you think you have read it. And as I often give the example, some of the young people are here. Now the cricket match is going on all over the place. Then you have a coach. What does the coach do? Don't you think that the people, or Hashim Amla, doesn't know how to bat? Don't you know the people how to bowl? Why should they have a coach? That coach points out, he thinks that he is doing right, but he is not right. There are some problem there. And therefore the coach corrects that problem. But who will learn from him? The person who thinks, who understands, who accepts, who admits that yes, this was my weakness, this is my mistake. Only then. But if you think you're already a sheikh, you're already a teacher, you're already something, you would not be able to learn. In order to learn, you have to first thing to learn that you don't know, or you make a mistake. Then you will learn. The Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala majma'in, they learn in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the duty of Rasulullah was given by Allah Ta'ala to recite the book of Allah, and then you purify them, and then you teach them the book and the wisdom thing. So purification was part and parcel of the duty of Rasulullah. And the Sahaba were made park in that way, that they such a way that their heart was absolutely a mirror, clean. Not that there may not be difference of opinion among the Sahaba, they were human beings. But the difference of opinion was for the sake of Allah, and their friendship was for the sake of Allah. And it does not mean that we living in this world today, we may not think evil. It's Allah Ta'ala's mercy. This is the point you must understand. It's Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Allah Ta'ala does not catch us for evil thought. Allah Ta'ala will catch if that evil thought is translated into action. Then Allah Ta'ala will catch us. And therefore, all the ibadah that we have, roza, hajj, zakat, everything, that's not the object by themselves. All of these propel and lead you to achieve that state of taqwa that Allah Ta'ala is talking about. Now, we must learn this by finding somebody. You are lucky. The people, the musalli of this masjid is lucky. Are lucky that they have got Maharaj Patel Sahib here, mashallah. Allah Ta'ala gave a long life. The other day he phoned and I told him, took the same thing. But like this, there are other people also. So you must find with whomsoever you feel that you can learn from him, or you are prepared to accept. But you must accept them. Then you don't argue with him, I have been doing this, I have been doing this thing. Like we have got a habit in our thing, that anything we want to do, we fix the target first, that this should be done. And then you ask a question to Marana, or Mali Sahab, or somebody who is there, or Imam Sahab. He gives an answer. You didn't like the answer because that target that you have, he did not give that answer. So you go to somebody else, Until somebody gives you opinion, there is a possibility it can be done. But this is the right man to do that. So this is our dil ka chor hai. This is the crookedness of our heart. Sahaba did not do that. Sahaba asked question immediately. So likewise, the idea is you establish your rapport with somebody whom you trust, open up yourself, and then learn. So deen is learned and not read. That's the important point. 10-year-old boy knows how to make namaz, but does he get the reality of namaz? 10-year-old girl or boy fast, does he get the reality of fast? The reality is something else. Imitation is something else. In order to achieve that reality, then you will have to learn. There is no shortcut for that. And therefore, you must be prepared to do that. And Ramzan is the best time to do that. That the, alhamdulillah, we make the Taraweeh, we make the, those that Allah Ta'ala have given chance, they make the Hajjud, fast and all those things. But then, the real test comes, not in our Aqaid, not our Namaz, Roza, Hajj, Zakat. Because Namaz, Zakat, whatever ways we do, be grateful that you have got time to do it, did it. No matter how half-heartedly or how badly you have done, or how was disruptive in your actions. But at least you did it. Be thankful to Allah Ta'ala. Don't give it up. Continue. Be grateful to Allah Ta'ala again. The real test really come in our ma'amalat and our akhlaq. This is where the test comes. Ma'amalat means how do we deal with each other in our business, in our medical profession, in our trade, in our everyday things. And akhlaq, our ethics, our morality, things. You see, you go to the beachfront, you see this big casino there, how attractively they made. If you want to go to the beachfront, you have to pass by. In fact, they change the route for the sake. Previously, you could go on the beachfront directly from the north to the completely to the Blue Lagoon without anything. When they made the casino, then they changed the route. So that you go through that. So you feel a little bit attraction there. Let's go and see what happened there. Even if I don't want to do that. Let's go and see them. Then in order to make more attraction, they have got the movie, they have got the restaurant, and they've got a halal restaurant also there. Everything it says is available. So one day you say, okay, I haven't seen, let's go and see, put the car there, let's go and see what the thing there. So in other words, that had been made attractive for you. This is what Hadith is saying. Ki the path to Jahannam has been made very attractive. So automatically you feel in this scope. Now you can't avoid, if you want to go from the beach, you can't avoid. Children, you have to tell. This is the thing, don't even go there. There's a Hadith which says, ittaqu mawaqi'at tuham. Again, ittaqu mawaqi'at tuham. Avoid the places where you can be accused of blameworthiness. Say, for example, if I go to a tavern, a bottle store to buy a glass of coke, a bottle of coke. If somebody sees me coming out of that, what do they think? So likewise, the thing is this, you should avoid those places. Last thing I want to tell you is this. It's pathetic, but I must tell you and convey this to those who are not here. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala that we spend our life in obedience of Allah Ta'ala, not in disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. And make dua to Allah Ta'ala that our death comes while we are in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala, not in disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Why? You never know where we can die. People have died on airports, people have died in the aeroplanes, in the train, they can die in casino, they can die in prostitutions, they can die anywhere. There was a poet, very famous poet of India, very famous poet. He used to drink, became a drunkard, and his health was giving in. And one day in Lucknow, one day he drank and came out of the tavern, the store, going home. And while going home, he was passing by a drain. You know, in India, Pakistan, how the drain, our open drain, all dirty water going there. He fell into that drain, the sewage drain, and he died. What a death it is. In other words, he died in the state of disobedience to Allah Ta'ala. Don't you think we should ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness for that? And therefore we should spend our life in obedience of Allah Ta'ala so that we may die in the state of obedience of Allah Ta'ala. And make dua Allah Ta'ala to avoid sins, so that we don't spend our life in disobedience, so that we do not die in the state of disobedience. And that is the point which keep that mind in your mind. I think if nothing else, at least think about this way, which I have just told you. Ki at least we should die in the state of obedience to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala ki ita'at mein. If that we do, then you deserve to be said at the time of your tatfeen or grave, whatever it is, يا أيها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنة. Otherwise what will happen? So the point I am making is this, that is, you must have heard from Maulana Patel sahab or my Shaykh Hakim sahab, he often quotes, and I will finish on that because that will keep in your in your head. My Shaykh often has repeated a verse from my father. He says very simple. سفر کا بھی کیا جیسے تیسے رہے ہم ایسے رہے یا کہ ویسے رہے تو گوز آر دیر کہ when you are traveling you don't feel whether we have got a big mattress or this or this or this or this, you just few hours thing you just go away. ہم ایسے رہے یا کہ ویسے رہے وہاں دیکھنا ہے کہ کیسے رہے. So we live here in this way or that way, it makes no difference. The real thing is to see how we survive there, how we will live there. That's the point. And the aeroplane is flight is going every time. As Maulana Patel Sahib once has said, and nicely has said, that at the aeroplane when you're sitting there and your plane, you are waiting for your plane to go, plane is delayed, plane of half an hour, 1 hour, and you see on the scoreboard, the board, the flights are going. You keep your eyes on the trick so that you do not miss your flight. The flight will be going every day. When our flight will go, we don't know. So keeping our eyes on the board, and keeping our duties to Allah, and the important thing is to avoid sin. And avoidance of sin means inculcation in our mind the presence of Allah. Once you have got that, and you got somebody to learn from him, inshallah will not go wrong. Therefore, hum aise rahe ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala, whatever I have said, I myself deserve the same thing. And if you have learned something out of that, I'll be alhamdulillah that you have done something. But I must tell you that it's not an easy way, it's not an easy task. In order to achieve an objective, to pass an examination, you have to do a lot. If you want to fail, you don't have to do anything, you will fail. So if you want to achieve, it's an uphill thing. But once you reach the peak of the Mount Everest, then you feel very happy that you got there. Otherwise, things will fall away. To make dua to Allah Ta'ala, what I have said, I myself deserve the same thing. If you have learned that, mashallah, that's good. May Allah Ta'ala keep us in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala all the time. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala make us die in the state of obedience, and we seek His mercy and regrets. Make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahman Rahim. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى ازواجه واصحابه بارك وسلم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة انك انت الوهاب ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ان نسينا واخطانا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا اسرا كما حملته الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا انت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم صلى الله تعالى خير خلقه محمد وعلى ازواجه واصحابه بارك وسلم برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.